This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis bringing you another message from God's Word on the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. In our last study, we were looking there at the soon coming of our Lord and in relation to the Great Tribulation. And we saw there were three causes of the Great Tribulation that's soon to come. We saw the first tribulation, and there were three: the moral, the satanic, and the judicial. But today, let's look there at the second cause of the coming Great Tribulation we saw is satanic. I know that we're living in a day when 65% or more of our present-day preachers deny the personal personality of Satan. I told you in a previous study that I read in one of our world-famous evangelists' own paper that he puts out that he wasn't sure that there is a hell. So what do you think about that? They laugh at the idea of a personal devil, but the Bible teaches, and there is, and every born-again believer knows that there is a personal devil, a personal Satan. Oh, and I know the Old Trailblazer believes it. I've seen the evidence of it. I've seen the workings of it. I had a dear woman work for me one time, and I walked in the room where she was supposed to be working, and she was shooing the devils out of her office. She was demon-possessed to the nth degree. In the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, we find that Satan was created as a great angel, the chief cherubim. He was the one who led the worship of this universe. He was the highest anointed cherub of all created beings. He became lifted up with pride and his own beauty, his own wisdom, and his own power. It was his undoing. He was unwilling to be subordinate. He aspired to rule the world for himself. He and his angels, those that joined him, rebelled, and God overthrew them, threw them out of heaven. This earth being his throne now, when the judgment fell upon Satan, according to Genesis 1:2, judgment was poured out upon this earth, and the earth fell into a cataclysmic chaos. As someone has said, like a great funeral hearse, it glided through space, sunless, silent thing. Then one day, God lifted out its rayless light, reformed it, created man, and set him to be the ruler in the place of the anointed cherub, who by his rebellion had become a devil. Then, and let me stop right here and mention, I offered you a series of studies by Pastor Shelton on Satan, the trail of Satan, and Satan and demon worship, five or six studies. I'll send them to you free and postpaid, booklet form, if you write me or call me. I'll be glad to do that. Then the devil tempted man in the same ambition which caused him to fall. Satan offered Adam the rulership of this earth as the God of the world. He led man to turn his back on God, and then man became Satan's dupe, Satan's slave. For nearly 6,000 years, Satan has led man into false religions, idolatry, infidelity, philosophies to keep him blinded. And we're seeing now the manifestation of all of those things coming to fruition. Satan is behind all the corruption of the world, governments today, behind the world chaos, and is leading this world of ours into rebellion against God. Oh, my friend, what a time. What a day we're living in. Now listen, 2,000 years ago plus, God sent his son into this world. The devil tempted him as he did the first man. He offered the Lord the rulership of the world in partnership with himself if he would only bow to him as a supreme being. Thank God Satan failed. The Son of God was crucified there on Calvary's cross as a sacrifice for sin. He arose from the grave and ascended back to the right hand of God and took his seat upon the throne of grace to give eternal life to men like you and me. Before Christ went back to heaven, he established his church. He founded it upon a rock, Christ. Listen, one day on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and took up his abode in the church. And the church went forth to witness for Christ and to call out his elect for salvation. Now, I know, my friend, that that's a strange doctrine to many of you, the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination. They're just as plain as a nose on your face. I had someone make fun of being chosen or being elected. And I said, go there and read in Peter's epistle. He says to you and to me, ye believers, God's child, ye are a chosen generation. What does that mean? It means we're chosen, chosen by God. And let me say this, if the Lord had not chosen me, I would have never come. If he had not chosen you, believer, you would have not ever turned to Christ. No, you'd gone on in your way, having your own way, doing your own thing, and no nothing to stop you. But listen, now, the devil at once sought to tempt the church and to render it powerless in her testimony of a crucified, buried, and risen Lord. The devil did that immediately, my friend. Satan offered her the same old temptation that he had offered Adam in the Garden of Eden and offered the Son of God there in the wilderness, that is, the rulership of the world. Finally, the church yielded to that temptation, and the church and the world were married. That's what we have today. The church is married to the world. The church repudiated the attitude of separation from the world and her pilgrimage throughout the world, and as a result, drifted into spiritual darkness and filled her pathway with the blood of martyrs and ushered in what is known as the Dark Ages. Some 400 or 500 years ago, the Reformation broke out, and the Protestant church went forth with a rallying cry. The world's conversion, the world's conversion. The church sought the spiritual conversion or the conquest of the world through the gospel, and it failed. Today, the professing church is making an alliance with the world and the world culture, and is preaching what is known today that you and I see on a daily basis, a social gospel. That's right, a social gospel. Just trust Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Join the church and be saved. And is yielding to the so-called higher criticism of the Bible and theology with one thought in mind, that she may get more influential grasp upon the world itself and realize her ambition for rulership. This is satanic to the core, my friend. This shows the professing church has been deceived, is blinded, and has lost sight of the original ministry and its divine command to make disciples and occupy until the Lord comes. The church today, the church today, and I mean the professing church, is sold out to the world, lock, stock, and barrel. Until I have often said, you can't tell the world from the church or the church from the world. Let me give you two illustrations that have come under observation that is prevalent everywhere. One is a little country church, and the leading deacon made this confession to me. He said, many a Sunday morning I have to come and worship the Lord, lead the choir, and when I saw two preachers in the pulpit, I was so near, listen, just wait just a second. I was so near drunk. This is him speaking now. The pastor would pat me on the back and say to me, you're one of the best men I have in this church. I tell my young pastors that hear me or visit me, put a broomstick up your backbone and preach Christ. Don't preach this modern religion, my friend, that the Lord loves everybody. Did you know the Lord doesn't love everybody? The Bible said the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. If you're not saved today and you're in rebellion against God in the Bible, the Lord is angry with you, mad at you, my friend. Listen. And when he came under Holy Spirit conviction for salvation, the pastor accused me of breaking up the church. That's right, breaking up his church. This showed the utter blindness of the pastor, his lost condition, and the blind leading the blind. The other example is a large city church where it is commonly reported that the song leader comes to choir practice very much intoxicated, and always with a cigarette in one hand and smoking while leading the choir. Now, that's what we have in many places. I know it's not everywhere. But listen, sin stays in the choir, still in the choir, which shows that she condones, listen now, his sin. And now we look at all of those women preachers, my friend. I don't want to get started on it this morning, but I have to say the Bible never has put a stamp of approval on women preachers. Now, you can cuss me, raise hell, do whatever you want to, turn your radio off, but the Scriptures plainly deny a woman preacher. The Scripture says that a preacher has to be the husband of one wife. And I know now that folks throw back at me, well, we have two women getting married. That's a wife and a husband. No, it's not. No, it's not, my friend. That's debauchery. That's occultism to the core. And these women now, reverends, head of a big church denomination. Oh, my friend, listen. Listen. What a day we're living in. Satan is in a rage. Satan, and you don't hear anybody refuting that. I come on the air most of the time with this statement that we refute error. That's error, my friend. A drunkard leading your choir, that's error. A cigarette-sucking woman leading the choir is an error. A cigarette-sucking woman preaching in the gospel, preaching in the pulpit, that's error, my friend. And God is going to punish that woman. God is going to punish that pastor for letting her have a place in his church. And that's right, my friend. I'm telling you what the Lord loves, and that's the truth. The old trailblazer, not very smart, not very bright, but I can read and I can write. And the Scripture says to be the pastor, the deacon, the bishop, has to be the husband of one wife and be under the authority of the pastor. The pastor is the authority of the church, my friend. Now, I'm the pastor of this church here. I'm the voice of authority. That's not being braggadocious. That's just being what the Lord says. To go forth, preach the gospel, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, call names. Rebuke, call names. Oh, my friend, listen. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to start in. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to do anything. But I tell you, the Lord hates sin, my friend. The Bible said, a man is sinful from birth, comes into this world a sinner. And listen, folks, the old trailblazer loves you. Don't get mad with me. Lady, woman, if you pastor in a church, seek the Lord's face. Get out of there and honor your husband if you have one. And take your place. Take your place, my friend. Don't do that. Don't go to hell. Don't do that. Wholesale and retail now going to hell over that one thing. And then we have all of this transgender bathroom, my friend. That's a trick of Satan. Oh, how in the world can our elected officials come down on the side of those things and not say anything about it? Little boys with their pants hanging down behind their behind can't say nothing about it. The teacher can't say nothing about it. Oh, my friend, old trailblazers are going to be true to you if it takes a hide off. But listen, remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, write me, call me. Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. I'll be back Monday with another message. Be calmed down a little bit by then. We'll go on in our study of the second coming of Christ in relation to the tribulation period. Goodbye and God bless you.